Anybody else wants to testify real quick while we're settling in here? Anybody at all? Lord, good to us, ain't
it?
Amen. Anybody at all? Now, here's your chance. All right, stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. I'm going to read a familiar passage. And I don't know if you've heard anything like this or not. You may have. I hadn't until the Lord gave it to me. And I'm going to read several verses. We'll just kind of hit around a little bit and get where we want to go. But we'll begin reading in verse number 1, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard the king of Israel and had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and to strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he returned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much better then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God." That's the part of the story we're pretty familiar with. I want to preach tonight from these next several verses. "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, 'Listen, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant. And when my master goeth into the house of Ramah to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Ramah, when I bow down myself in the house of Ramah, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing.' And he said unto him, 'Go in peace.' So he departed from him a little way." This evening, pray with me. Pray the Lord to help us as we preach from this story. Don't let the familiarity of the text amen, gets you kind of lulled off. I'm going to go somewhere and I need you to stay with me. Father, tonight in Jesus' name we come to you tonight. Thankful for the goodness of God. Thankful for the blessings of God upon our life, upon our church, upon our families. And Lord, everything we have that is good in our life, we owe it to you. And Father, I pray tonight that you'd receive our praise and our thanks this evening in this time of prayer. Father, I do ask you now for the next few moments, you'd empower us, touch our voice, touch our mind, touch our body. God, I pray tonight in all things, receive glory and honor, and help us, Lord, this evening, communicate the Word of God in a way that would be understandable, in a way, Father, with such a spirit that it would challenge your people this evening. Help us to worship you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As we approach this text tonight, the Lord has laid it on our heart this year to emphasize the subject of worship. We preached several messages concerning worship. And tonight, if the Lord will help me, I want to kind of lead into that same vein of thinking tonight. If the Lord will help us, it's a very familiar story tonight. A man by the name of Naaman, a man who was a captain of the host, a man out of Syria. And this evening, as we study this passage of Scripture in light of Naaman, who it's really about, I'm interested tonight. Just let me kind of break it down into our verses we want to preach from. I see tonight in Naaman a good testimony of salvation. You'll notice this in verse number 1, the prominence of Naaman. When we're introduced to Naaman, listen, he's not some bum in Syria. He ain't holding a we'll work for food sign up. This man is a very prominent man in the land of Syria. When we're introduced to him, he's made known to you and I in the Bible as the captain of the host and the king of Syria. The Bible said that he was a great man, that he was a mighty man, and that he was an honorable man. This man, my friend, is a man that's well respected in his society. He's a man that's done good deeds. It's fought and won great battles, and victories have been attributed to him. In fact, the Bible said, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. That is, other men have reaped the benefits of the life in this man has lived. A prominence of Naaman. But notice we've met in verse number 1 again, we see the problem of Naaman. He's not only prominent, but he has a problem. The Bible said that though he was a mighty man in valor, he was a leper. In other words, my friend, listen, you think about the prominence of this man, and everybody would want to attain to what Naaman has achieved in life. My friend, the biggest bum in Syria would not have traded places with Naaman because of the problem that Naaman has. Naaman is a leper. He's got that disease that my friend keeps him exiled from everybody else. He's a man, my friend, that it has something nobody else wants to claim. Amen. It's a disease in their body. It's a type of sin in the Word of God that plagues even our generation tonight as the problem of mankind. Can I say tonight? And it doesn't matter how prominent you are, you can be like Naaman and live a good life and attain good deeds and win things in this world, and great achievements can be done at your hand. But Naaman had a problem that went beyond death and overshadowed all of his prominence. Naaman was a leper. And can I say tonight, and if you're a sinner and you've never been saved, you got a problem tonight. All your good deeds pale in comparison. All the awards you may have won, all the trophies you may have accumulated, my friend, are overshadowed by that plague of sin and problem of sin in your life. And so we see the prominence of Naaman and the problem of Naaman. Notice with me in this passage of Scripture, I see the passion toward Naaman. You see, Naaman went down and he won a war. There's a little old Israelite girl that has been brought back as a slave, and she's tending on Naaman's wife and serving in that house. And this little Jewish little girl, Israelite girl, little maid of the land of Israel, the Bible said, began to hear the problem that Naaman had. And she said, would to God he'd go back to Israel. There's a man of God down there that can tell him what God has to say say, and he can be cured of his leprosy. And I say, thank God for a little me, a little old girl down in the land who still lived for God and still loved people who had a need. Ain't you glad for the day when you was lost in sin and somebody loved you with, amen, and told you about a God in heaven, amen, a church somewhere you could get to and would preach the word of God, amen, and deliver your soul, that your problem can be dealt with by the grace of God. Amen. The passion toward a Naaman tonight. And I just preach here for a minute just by way of passing. I'm not going to deal with it this evening, but and I say we ought to love sinners tonight. I mean the lowest of the low. I mean all the lepers in town. All the men and women and boys and girls that, my friend, have an issue with sin tonight. Amen. Somebody needs to love them. And somebody needs to be moved with compassion for them. Amen. Thank God for some young people in our church had to get out and knock doors and pass out tracts, amen, and tell our community and our generation that the Lord God of heaven can help them with their sin. Amen. Tuesday nights about 6:30 you show up and there'll be more young folk here than there are adults. Amen. Can I brag on them for just a minute? Amen. You know what they're doing? They're being that little old maid in 2 Kings 5. Amen. That's worried about sinners and just wants to do their little part to get word out that God saves sinners from their sin. The prominence and the problem, but we say the passion toward Naaman. Amen. There was people around Naaman that loved him, that wanted him to be different, that were involved in his life, in getting Naaman to the place by the end of this story where his life can be changed. And can I say tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you're in a crowd that loves you and cares for your soul and wants to see you saved, and we love you enough to tell you the truth, that your sin will send you to hell. We love you enough tonight to let you know that there's a Lord and a Savior in glory that'll change your life. The passion toward Naaman, but notice with me the preaching. The preaching to Naaman, you come verse number 8 down through verse number 10. And word spreads that the man of God, Elisha, that the king is upset, that the king of Syria is sending this great man of valor back to Israel to be healed. And he rends his garments, and Elisha says, "O king, don't rend your garment. Send him on down to the house that he can know that there's a man of God in Israel. We want him to know that there's somebody in touch with God. Amen. Send him on down here. Now tell him what he's got to do if he's going to be made better." And I say, thank God tonight when I was lost and undone, God got me to a preacher. Amen. God sent a preacher in my path to cry loud and give the message of what I must do if I'm going to be saved. The preaching, the name, and the name. Notice the prayer in name it. In verses 11, 12, and 13. Amen. Elisha before that sends his servant Gehazi out and says, "Hey, here's what you got to do. You want to be cleansed, you go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River." And that offended old Naaman in all his prominence and all the status that he had attained to. Amen. He said, "I would have thought surely that the preacher would have come out and petted on me and put his hand on me and loved on me." And I'm for preachers loving on sinners tonight. Don't get me wrong, but old Elisha dealt with Naaman in a very unusual way and sent his servant out there and said, "If you're going to be cleansed, what you've got to do, you've got to go dip yourself 7 times in the filthy, dirty, rotten Jordan River." In other words, big boy, you ain't too big to get cleansed the way God said you got to be cleansed. Yeah, man, there's a crowd in our day. They stop their ears to the man of God and the message of the gospel tonight. It says you're only going to get it one way. Hey, man, you ain't going to get it everybody petting on you. Thank God, an old leather lug. Hey, man, steel backbone man of God, dude. It won't waver and won't give in. Hey, man, thank God for the preaching of the word of God. Naaman eventually is going to get cleansed because there's a man of God who won't compromise the message. Amen. This old liberal mentality of our day. Amen. Some little old spaghetti span. Amen. Spaghetti noodle span. Gutless. Little limp-wristed perm hair wearing. Amen. Amen. Pink shirt wearing crowd of preachers in our day. Friend, are compromising the message. The message ain't changed. It's repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to get saved. Thank God for men of God who have not bowed down to the winds of compromise that blow in our day. The preaching of Naaman. Notice the pride of Naaman. Naaman said, I can't believe that he's treated me this way. I can't believe that he said thus to me. I can't believe that he expects somebody like me to get down in the muddy, dirty, rotten waters of Jordan. And the Bible said when he heard what Elijah had to say, in his pride he got filled with anger. And I say that's what a lot of sinners do. You get up and you preach the Word of God and deal with sin and tell people it's repent or perish, it's believe or burn. And my friend, they get offended at that because they think in life they've attained a status that God's going to look at them differently than anybody else. And I tell you, all that is, sir, is pride. It's pride to think you're any better than anybody else. It's pride to think that God would save you any other way than He saved me. It's pride to think that God would accept you on any other grounds save the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and save sinners. It's pride, and they get mad and they get upset. I've seen them. I was preaching a funeral one time of a young man that I believe was saved, and he died, I believe, living in sin. He died under the judgment of God, and I began to preach about, hey man, the greatest problem man has was the title of my message for that at funeral service. And I noted as I began to dive in and deal with sin and the problem with the human race, Brother Tim, they began to get up in that funeral service and walk out the door. That's visibly shaking their head. After it's all over, they come to me wanting to fuss and the fact. Can I say it's still man's greatest problem? Whether you like it, whether you want to hear it or not, amen. Sin is man's greatest problem, and you have to deal with your pride and admit that you're what the Bible says you are. The pride in Naaman. But notice with me, there's some men around Naaman that say, hey Naaman, had the man of God asked you to go win some great battle, you'd have gone and done it. Had he asked you to do some great deed, you would have gladly went off to the challenge and done that. All he's asked you to do is to bow yourself down in the old Jordan River. All he's asked you to do is something that is simple. You would have set out on some great task. Had he given it to you to do? And my friend, they began to reason with him. Amen. Much like the Holy Ghost does with sinners. And the Word of God is preached. Amen. It's amazing how many people, if I said to name the way you get saved, death is to crawl across that street out there, amen, 2570 on your knees, through four lanes of traffic, there'd be people lined up to do that tonight. Can I say that ain't how you get saved? The way you get saved is by bowing, death, and the Holy Ghost wants to persuade you that His way is right. They began to work, and finally Naaman comes to the end of himself. Says, well, I'm going to go back a leper if I don't do what he said. I'm going to go back home the same old way that I came down here in. Y'all hang with me. I'm getting a little long here in introduction. Amen. But eventually he's persuaded and he bows himself down in that Jordan River. He goes down one time and comes up. Nothing's better. And they say, but I imagine maybe he looks around and he said, well, it ain't getting any better. And they said, but he said, do it six more times. Amen. Friend, time after time after time. Amen. He comes up number six and it's still there. And maybe he's thinking, man, I don't know how all this is going to work. But he told me to bow seven times. He told me this is how I'm going to be cleansed. And he went down one more time by faith and got up cleansed of all this problem. And I say, thank God for the day and the Holy Ghost and God's people and a daddy and a mama persuaded me that God's way was the right way and the only way for a man to get saved. persuasion, the persuasion. He experiences this great cleansing from his leprosy, which is attacked, my friend, just how you and I get saved. A problem with sin. Amen. In all our prominence, we had a problem. Somebody had passion on us, and there's preaching done, and pride swelled up, but the Holy Ghost and the church persuaded you and I, and we yielded, and we got saved and cleansed from our problem of sin. What I'm interested tonight in is the prayer of Naaman. Naaman, now he's been cleansed. He comes up out of the Jordan River, and my friend, he's a shouting the victory. He's excited about what God has done. And Caffey goes down and he makes his way down there to the house of Elisha again. And Elisha this time comes out, and Naaman says, "Hey, I've got some goods I want to give you. I want to give you a reward for changing my life." And oh, Elisha, being a man of God of integrity and character, I looked there at Naaman that day and said, "I ain't going to take it. Because if I take it, I'll get the glory, and I want God to get the glory." Amen. And oh, Naaman said, "And now I know." Amen. We read it there a little while ago. He said, "I thought back there early in the chapter, but now that God's done a miracle," he said, "I know. I know that there ain't a God in all the world save in the land of Israel. He's the only God there is." You talk about persuasion. Friend, amen. You talk about God doing something in this old boy's life, and it's absolutely made a difference. And now Elisha said, "I'm not going to take it." And Naaman said, "But I want you to take it. I'm going to give God the glory, but take this." And the Bible said Elisha refused him. Now here's my message tonight. If you'll bear with me about 10 or 15 minutes, I'll be done. The Bible said Naaman comes back to Elisha down. And he says, "Okay, if you're not going to take anything from me, would you give me something?" And it's a strange prayer, and it's a strange request that Naaman asked for. Naaman said, "I tell you what I want. You won't take all my goods, but what I want from you, I want you to give me 2 mules burdened down with earth out of the land of Israel." Why? Amen. Because Naaman's getting ready to go back into a heathen land, back into a wicked world, back into a land, my friend, that is filled with many gods. And I think that Naaman had it in his mind, "I'll take me back two mules burdened with earth, and I'll get back there, and I'll set me up an altar like God said to do in Exodus 20, build an altar of earth, and there I'll have me," amen, "listen to me, I'll have me some holy land, some holy ground in a heathen land." Amen. I have me some holy ground in a heathen land. I know what God's done for me. I know God has cleansed me. I'm going back into a wicked world. And when I get down there, I'm going to look around. They'll still be singing the same old songs. They'll still be going the same old dance halls. They'll still be watching the same dirty movies. See? But I want to have me a little holy ground in a heathen land so I can worship Him. I want to preach tonight on holy ground in a heathen land. Amen. You notice what Naaman said. He said, "I got to go back down there, Elisha, and I hope God don't hold it against me." And there's a lot of commentators that, my friend, that's all they are, commentators. Amen. And they debate this, and they say Naaman's request shows that he went on back with some paganism, that he didn't really truly get converted. But you'll notice in the end of the story, and Elisha sent him away in peace. Amen. I think I'll listen to Elisha before I will some old commentator. Amen. And I think old Elisha said, "Oh boy, God ain't going to hold it against you." And old Naaman said, "I got to go back down there to Syria. I'm a captain in the king's army, and I'm going to be around some wicked men down there. And I'm going to have to, my job's going to bring me around some influences that are not right and are not godly. And there's going to be some times I'm going to be in some places and I'm not going to be comfortable being in. And I need me 2 mules burdened down with earth. Amen. So when I get down there, I'll have me a place that is dedicated to nothing but worshiping the God of glory." And I say tonight,
God saved me one day, and I'm thankful that He did. You remember what the New Testament said? Was it Peter that said that we're in the world, but we ain't of the world, and we live in a heathen land tonight. Amen. We live in a wicked land, and you see billboards and watch TV and hear the commercials tonight. We're living in a heathen land, but I'm glad there's some holy ground that God has given you an aid, and we can still worship Him and still magnify Him and give Him the worship that He's deserving of. Holy ground in a heathen land. Number one, notice with me, holy ground in a heathen land. These two mules burdened down with earth. Amen. Somebody said that it would be approximately a 10 foot square to 12 foot square of earth if them mules carried back to Syria. Amen. Can you imagine that old boy? Amen. Old Naaman, here he is coming back. A captain, Mr. Preeminence, Mr. Victory. Amen. Mr. Battle. And he comes into town. Amen. And they say, hey, where'd you get them two sorry looking mules at? And what in the world are they carrying? That looks like bags of dirt. And old Naaman said, oh yeah, that's going to be my holy ground in a amen, in a heathen land. They say, what in the world happened to you down there in Israel? They say, you ain't going to believe it. God has done some great things for me. And they say, what are you going to do with it? He said, I'm going to go down here out behind my house, and I'm going to lay it all out. I'm going to build me an altar of earth, and I'm going to go out there every morning and every evening, and every time I move to do so, I'm going to go out there and worship God on that holy ground in this heathen land. They say, well, why? He says, number one, because that's the place of salvation. Every time he'd go home from a long day's work, he'd look out there, there'd be that little pile of a holy ground in a heathen land, and his mind would go back to the day. And he woke up one day and he seen a little blemish in his scab. Amen. And somebody said, name it. That don't look like a scab. That looks like leprosy. And he tried to cover it up, but it began to get out on him, and word began to spread. Amen. And people began to take this man. They treat him with respect. Amen. For him began to treat him with disdain and ignore him and stay away from him. And he remembers the day that a little old maid said, I know somebody can give you a message. I know somebody help you with your problem there. And he remembers the day he made the long journey all the way into the land of Israel. And the day he stood there and the man of God, amen, said, go wash and be clean. He remembers the day that he bowed and believed God. And he remembers the time and he come up out of the water, and what was a plague in his skin has been washed away. And he goes out and he stands on the holy ground and says, thank God I'm not the man that I used to be. I've got some holy ground in a heathen land. Hallelujah, I'm glad. You say, why do you worship God? Why do you go crazy down in church? I'll say something about this holy ground. When I walk in, I'm reminded of what I used to be, and I'm made a worship the God of glory. I remember where I was headed. I remember the life that I was going to live. God came by my way. Jesus saved my soul. Amen. And now every now and then, amen, there's a little holy ground marked out in a heathen land that reminds me of the day that He saved my soul. Hallelujah. Son, I pick up a pew and throw it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ought to be burning in hell. Shame on us. Shame on you tonight for not worshiping God. Shame on you for living in bitterness. Shame on you, amen, for carrying around grudges. Shame on you tonight for not giving God all the worship and the glory He's deserving of after all that He did to save you from hell. You ain't got your sin dead anymore. I may preach 3 or 4 hours right here. I know I said 10 or 15 minutes, but it won't be the first time a lad, amen, preaching, amen. And I say tonight, I'm glad, thank God, he changed my leg. Amen. Reach further down, Brother Ains said, and I could ever reach up when I was hopeless, when I was headed to hell, when my friend has a crash course, amen, a footstep away, I'm dropping off into eternity in hell. Amen. God reached down and rescued me. So get off my back. Amen. I got some holy ground. Amen. These old wet blankets. Amen. I don't understand why they get all loud and shout and scream. It. Old Gerald, he just always prays about thanking God he saved it. Amen. Can I say, get off of it? Amen. He just got a little bit of, amen, a little bit of holy ground. Amen. Amen. Old Gerald, do you understand this? Every time Gerald Taylor walks into Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, woo, hallelujah, he's just a few feet away. Amen. There's a little holy ground in a heathen land of Newport. Amen. He walks in and he remembers, that's where he saved me. That's where he made the difference. Amen. I could run all the way to Canton, Michigan tonight. Amen. Just to look at the ground. God saved me all. Amen. I'm glad I can worship on some holy ground. Amen. Y'all better shout because it gets bad on the second point. Amen. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. Amen. To get over your problems. Get your eyes off everything. Amen. That's a burden in this old heathen land. Did God not save your soul one day? Did God not reach down somewhere? Some back holler in Tennessee. Nobody ever knew your name. Nobody even cared you as a lad, much less if you died. But the God of glory heard your cries in the midnight air. The God of glory seen every drop that fell off your cheek. Every time you sighed and said, there's got to be more to life than this. And God sent somebody by your way. Somebody down on the job said, let me tell you about a church. Let me tell you about a preacher. Let me tell you about a Savior. That'll change your life. Amen. And you didn't know why. There's something on the inside said, that's where you need to get. And so you went through the hollers and over the mountains said, amen. And God changed your life where you were. We sit there like an old knot on a log. Oh, that's pretty good. Shame on us. Shame on us. When's the last time you just got caught up in the glory? Amen. When nobody wanted anything to do with you, the God of glory said, I give you a message and change your life. I'll send you home different. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad tonight that there is some holy ground in this heathen land. You say, what? Why do you get so worked up that old holy ground? I just go remembering that place that he saved my soul, and it's holy ground to me. Holy ground in a heathen land. It's the place of salvation. Number two, it's the place of separation. Did you catch what Naaman said? He said, now if you ain't shouted, you probably done passed up your opportunity. I told you, you should have said amen. Old Naaman said, Elisha, I'm going back down there. And I'm going back to an old wicked boss down there. I got to go down there and I'm going to be around him. And I'm going to get stuck in some places I don't want to get stuck in. Listen to me, I'm for separation. I'm going to preach it in a minute. But you are still in the world. God didn't save you to make you a hermit. You still got to live in the world. Amen. And in this world, there's worldly things and there's wicked things that we got to be around and that you're going to get around. Amen. Listen, everybody on your job ain't saved. Everybody in here ain't got a boss that's saved. Amen. You're going to get up, go to work in the morning. There's going to be co-workers still telling dirty jokes. They still going to have their country and western music playing on the radio. They going to wear their tight blue jeans, amen, and their mini skirts, and you're going to be around a very wicked land. Is that what Naaman said? Naaman said, I got to go back. I'm going to go back home. I'm going back different. I know that God, that the God that is in Israel is the God that has made the difference in my life. But give me two mules burdened with earth. There's going to be some days my king's going to take me down the house of Rimmon. And he's going to bow, and I'm going to have to honor my boss because he's my boss. And I still believe in that. Y'all might as well say amen. I'm not talking about doing wicked and evil. But he said when my boss bows, he said I'm going to have to reverence him. And he said I'm going to have to bow, but it ain't going to mean nothing to me. He said I ain't going to give worship but the one God. When I get up off my knee, doing my job, being around my boss and being around them heathens I got to work with, I want to have me a little holy crown back at the house. Something that's different than what that world has to offer. I got to have something that's going to be separated, amen, from what they've got to offer to me. And I say, thank God today. I'm glad God gave me some holy ground in this heathen land, a place of separation, a place that is unlike anything that's in this world. Son, I'm about to explode tonight. There's about to be little bits of Jeff all up and down this place. I'm on blow. I'm telling you, I'm glad at 845 West Highway 2570, there's a place that's separated. We ain't the Mickey Mouse Club. We ain't the Masonic Temple tonight. I wouldn't belong to a bunch of heathens there. Hey, man, I'm glad tonight. Hey, man, I'm in a holy place. I'm in a place that's separated and dedicated to the worship of the name of God. Amen. That's why we ain't getting these old nasally southern gospel singers in here. Amen. Bunch of honky-tonk sounded. Amen. Sing in the flesh. I just be honest, I got a bad problem with two men or two women staring at each other while they're singing about the Lord. Hey, just something homo about that. Amen. There's something wrong with that crowd. I say I've been around diesel fumes too long. Amen, we ain't going that route. We ain't letting no, amen, we ain't letting no mini skirt wearing, amen, singers get up here. We don't need no worship tape. We don't need no praise tape. Amen, we don't need somebody to get up, amen, and get us all a waving and a swaying and a moving and a gyrating that. I'm glad tonight that God's give us a place of separation. Amen, it's holy ground in a heathen land. So, oh, well, we all worship different. Yeah, I worship on holy ground and they worship in a heathen land. God ain't ever called the world to be like the church to be like the world so we can win them. Amen. Amen. I didn't get saved in this church trying to, these churches trying to act like the world. Amen. They bring them in and entertain them. There's nothing wrong having ministries and trying to serve people and win people. Even the Lord fed fish and hush puppies one day. Amen. You got a crowd up. Are you listening? And I'm not against some things tonight. But my friend, there's got to be caution. There's got to be a lad. Amen. This bunch of, amen, bring in monster trucks and jumping cars. I don't believe in none of that junk. Amen. I just don't believe in it. Amen. Where's it going to stop? If you do that, then you're going to have to do something bigger and fancier to get them in the next time. Amen. I got a preacher friend. He went over there. Amen. One of the big publications over in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I won't call their name, but they big publication over in Murfreesboro. Walked in there. And one of them boys was bragging about a big church in town. Now, it ain't Brother Hudson who'll be here Thursday. It's the other big church in town. And they was bragging on, they had so many hundreds of young people come in, had some guy jumping buses with a dirt bag. And he said, I don't believe in none of that. What you going to do next time? Because they ain't going to come back for that again. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I wouldn't have said this. This is what he said. He said, you're going to get a stripper pole next time. He said, you get a big old crowd, you go doing that. And by the way, they are doing it in some places tonight. Amen. It is amazing how they've steeped down the heathen land that we live in, trying to draw a crowd in. Can I say, I still believe that God's people ought to be separated. Amen. And dedicated to God. We've got holy ground in a heathen land, a place of salvation, a place of separation. Amen. I still believe in that old time way of living. Somebody was telling me the other night about somebody in town that made the comment, said he wasn't going to come to Calvary. He had to live right and be a member down there. Whoa, hallelujah. Ain't that good, Brother A.L.? Amen. We could be known for a lot worse. Amen. I'd rather be known for that than be known that we let any old thing go on. Amen. You'd be amazed. Can I preach a minute? You'd be amazed how many churches tonight have some old song leader in the, amen, up on the platform, been shacking up, harmonging around. That ain't ever been the will of God. Amen. I'm glad we got a man of God that God has let lead the music all these years. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. Glory. We ain't having no beer drinking deacons. We ain't having deacons no how, but we sure ain't having the beer drinking kind. Amen. I'm telling you, amen. We ain't, why? Because we believe that God has given us some holy ground. Holy ground. Amen. Y'all believe this is holy ground? Separated. Amen. I'll get up in the morning and I'll start desiring and craving and hungering. Lord, let Wednesday night get here. Lord, let it get here. Lord, I just don't know if I can make it through if Wednesday don't get here sooner. And my friend, I'll be here Wednesday and I'll be here Thursday morning and Thursday night and Friday morning and Friday night. And Brother Gerald, why? Because it's holy ground. It's holy ground. But God has given us a place of separation, a place of salvation. Somebody else walks up to Naaman, they say, Naaman, is that dirt? He said, no, it's holy ground. Lord, have mercy, that ain't even in the notes, and that's preaching right there. You know what the world thinks this is? Just dirt. Think it's a bunch of waste of time. Sissy, it ain't dirt. It's holy ground. Woo, hallelujah, that's a good place to say, man. He said, that's holy ground.
Yes, sir.
He said, holy ground? What's that? He says, that's the place of sacrifice.
Amen.
Naaman said, hey, Elisha, give me two mules burdened down with earth. Dan, here's what he said. He said, I'm going to go back and I'm not worshiping and sacrificing and giving burnt offerings to anybody except the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You know what he's saying? God's been good to me. And I believe God's going to keep being good to me. And every now and then, I'm going to take all them blessings God's given me, and I'm going to go out there on that holy ground and give it back to the Lord. And I say, thank God for holy ground in a heathen land. Where God, ain't you glad God's still good to us in this heathen land? God's give us a little place right here. We can still worship God and come in. Man, I'm done preaching. I'm gassed out. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad God's still good to me.
Amen.
You say, oh, you ain't got no burdens. I probably got more than you realize. Amen. Probably fighting more battles than you could even understand tonight. But I'm glad through every battle and through every burden of blessings that God keep a falling. And God's still good to this old boy. I wonder, old Naaman said, I need a little holy ground in a heathen land to have a place to give back to God that which belongs to Him. Ain't you glad tonight for holy ground in a heathen land?